Joining me in the Catalyst studio today are the women who run the Weekly Challenger, the weekly newspaper. It's been around for about 50 years now. We have Lynn Johnson, who's the
publishing editor,
and Jake Ann Jones, who writes a lot of the wonderful content. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are things going at the Challenger?
I think things are going great. There's always so much to cover. Actually, right now we're trying to figure out how to put a calendar in, an events calendar, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's so much stuff happening and we can never.
There is so much happening in the city. I would need at least 10 more writers to, you know, capture everything that's going on. And they all expect you to be there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they expect you to stay the whole time, you know? So we're very busy, put it that way.
Right. And on top of that, you've actually got a pretty cool idea for a new project that helps bring news and media to our schools. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, working with Gretchen Letterman, she's head over Journeys for Journalism. And what that does, it's backed by the Tampa Bay Times, and it goes into the three feeder schools. So Melrose is an elementary school that has a journalism department, John Hopkins, and then Lakewood High School. So if kids show interest in media, they go up from elementary. They know where to go to for middle school and then high school. And I saw that project and I thought that was a great idea, you know, because I read their Melrose, which is elementary school, and I read their newspaper and it's like written very well. And they take their own photos. I mean, it's amazing what these kids can do. And so the idea that we had is to produce content, but also have them produce some content themselves, because actually they write very well and they're smarter than you think. You know, you look at kids now and, you know, you read a text and you're like, what is that? You know, but yeah, they can get serious and they can write, you know, so we thought that'd be a kind of a good idea to bring them content that they'd be interested in, but also have them write some.
Sure. Where are you in the evolution of that idea, and what can we do as a community to help you make that a reality?
We're contemplating setting up a nonprofit for it. So right now we're in the mission statement, finding a board, sort of thinking about the mock-up, and we're going to try to start making some connections with either through an internship program or through some of the people at USF, just try to see how we can move it along, because the idea that it would both be in the newspaper and it would be a very small sort of standalone hard paper thing, right, but very small, that could be distributed at different locations as well. So I think we're really just really trying to get our mission statement set and then really try to figure out, if it's only an 8-page publication, do we want to have any professional writing in it, or do we just want to do it all through the kids? And then it's also really important, I think, for us to have a mental health component to it. So we're also, I've been in the process of communicating with some mental health professionals, because at least post Parkland, some of the talkbacks that we've been part of, there's definitely a need for more mental health resources in our community. The public school system is doing what it can, but I think that if we can make sure that at least a page of our content is offering resources and conversations for youth on where to turn if they're struggling, that's also something that we're really looking into and speaking to some educators about.
That's great. It's certainly, I would say, it's a somewhat modern phenomenon that to get good positive attention in a publication like that could actually be risky, right? Because a lot of times kids now are just trying to stay under the radar as much as possible, and stand out in any way attracts attention. And you know, unfortunately, some percentage of that's going to be negative. So to take steps to have that awareness and take steps to counter that, I think is fantastic. Mm-hmm. You mentioned USF, and you're working on a project with them to capture some of the rich history that the Challenger has. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Actually, we've been working with them for a while. They have this neighborhood news bureau, and they sit in the heart of Midtown. What they do is they cover news about, you know, what's going on in Midtown. Then they need an outlet to publish these in, because the kids are trying to build a portfolio. So they come to the Weekly Challenger, and they go to different other publications, but I get the first writer refusal and I publish all their work. So then we just had this big, huge room with all these old newspapers in it. And one of my friends suggested that, hey, well, maybe we can find like a college or something to archive it. And so I went to the, he was over USF. He was one of the librarians over there. And he was actually one of my professors when I was at Eckerd. And he said, sure, we do it. So then they got to writing and they started writing grants and trying to get the money for it. And then it was turned down. And so then they went to Daryl Rousson. Then he was a representative. He's a senator now. And he actually went to the state of Florida and he got the money. Of course, they turned it down the first time. And then so USF said, well, wrap it up into our budget. And they'd have to veto the whole budget, you know. So Governor Scott relented. And we got, was it $300,000 to archive all that old, old paper that was sitting in there molding and turning yellow. They bought this huge, it's a huge camera they bought. And the software was like $85,000.
Wow.
And then all they did was they just started scanning everything. And so now on their digital project websites, you can go in and search as many papers that we had available. Because, you know, my father started the Weekly Challenger 50 years ago, back in 67, and he didn't have the foresight to save. Yeah. So I think it starts in the 80s. So what little there was in the 60s and all of the 70s, there's barely anything. And it starts about mid 80s. So you can go back and you can search the archives. But that's a huge project. You know, it's been going on for 2 years now. And I think they're almost up to date. And so all that content is on their website. And then every 6 months, they get content from me from the newer stuff.
Right. And when you say we got $300,000, actually they got $300,000.
Yeah, they got $300,000.
The financial reality of running a print newspaper is not pretty for anyone these days. How are you coping with that?
It's not easy, you know? And then I was just told that they're going up on the newsprint. So that means my printer bill is going up even higher. So I have to figure, I have to combat a way of still being able to print weekly, but deal with these higher prices, you know? And it was like 40%.
Is that from the tariffs?
It sure is.
From Canada?
From Canada, right. And so that's a big thing. And, you know, advertising, because the paper is basically funded through advertising.
Right.
And, you know, that gets hard, you know, especially when you are a local paper, you know, you're not national. So like the bigger guys are just like, you know, I'd rather be in a, you know, a paper that's going to be seen all over, you know? So yeah, it's not easy.
And how much of your time now, what you have to spend on selling versus writing and research and community involvement?
You know, I try not to spend too much time on it. So I have people to help me out with
that.
But it's a hard one because, I mean, you get the door slammed in your face, like telemarketing. It's terrible. I mean, it's not easy. I have a few larger ad agencies I work with that will get you to national ads. But yeah, it's drying up and it's happening for, you know, the dailies. You know, there's so many of them closed down, or like the Tampa Bay Times. I mean, I hear they haven't turned a profit in years.
Yeah, they just laid off 50 more people or 40 or 50 more people.
Yeah, in fact, I had someone call me today looking for work, said she just got, she's a copy editor, just got laid off at the Times, you know, so it's scary.
And the Challenger's distributed for free, right?
Well, a lot of places we do for free. We call it free targeted growth.
Right.
And like the churches.
Sure.
But like if you buy it in a store, it will cost. But like some churches.
So it's a mix.
Yeah, it's a
some
mix.
Free and some. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Understood. Jake Ann, how are you finding all the changes to the landscape now? I know it's, what's your production load in a given week?
There's so much going on. I mean, if I worked full-time for the Challenger, I don't think I could cover everything that is going on. I work outside. I have other jobs and I have other contracts that I do to supplement my income. So it's difficult. You know, I mean, I'm working on a book project as a ghostwriter, and I just finished a book project, and trying to find publishing is also difficult today. Publishers really don't want to necessarily mess with people who, as they say, don't have a platform, which means that they're not a reality TV star.
Mm-hmm.
And even if your stuff is history, I mean, I think basically the book deal that I got for the most recent project is basically an academic publisher. So when you're dealing with those kind of publishers, you're not going to get any kind of percent. I mean, the percentage is incredibly small.
Right.
But it's a way for your book to stay in print. They distribute basically to universities.
Right.
So it's, I don't know, you know, it's a very kind of stark landscape in terms of print and publishing right now, even though I recently read that, you know, test scores show that children prefer to read paper content and that the online testing for the numbers are very poor, you know? So, I mean, I don't think we're doing any justice to our kids by turning everything over to the internet and web and not encouraging them to read, but hey.
With all that being said, and obviously you joined the ghostwriting to support yourself and in the work that you're doing, obviously, you know, with the Challenger, you have a responsibility to do different pieces and a wide variety of content, but which type of content means the most to you and that you wish as much attention as possible was paid to?
I mean, I'm really into stuff that's about the youth and youth oriented. I mean, that's the future of our country. So I would love to see more stuff about mental health for the youth. Post Parkland, I did a couple of talkbacks with various groups. And I remember one that the Dream Defender sponsored at Allen UMC. I think
Allendale,
right? It was really very touching to hear the young women, because it was mostly young women in the room, talk about the mental health challenges in their classrooms and how post-Parkland, they really seem to have been exacerbated. Listening to the kids talk about just their anxiety and their fear. And I realized, you know, we really need to be doing a better job in our community of accessing support for kids, finding out what they're going through, and kind of trying to tap into how we can support them. So I think like that is definitely an area that I would like to get more in the paper. And that's probably something I need to focus on coming, you know.
You know, I feel that way also. There's so much trauma in the Black community and mental health, getting help for it is something that's kind of taboo. You know, nobody wants to admit that they're crazy, you know, and especially not Black people. I don't know if we see that as a weakness. I'm not sure what the pathology behind that is, but it's okay to have problems. You know, there's so much trauma in the community. Of course, you're going to have problems. And a lot of people don't look at it as, you know, they just pick themselves up and keep going and they don't understand, you know, they have PTSD, a lot of the stuff that goes on, right? And they're right in their backyard, you know? So yeah, so like getting rid of the stigma of getting mental health with the children, because, you know, when you think of that, you think of adults needing help, but it's the children who really go through it, you know? Because a lot of adults can, they might be able to cope with it, but kids don't. And then they go to school and then there's a huge problem in school and then they're not learning and they're preventing other kids from learning. And a lot of it's because, you know, what went on the night before, you know, did they get any sleep? You know, was it gunshots or parents fighting, you know, whatever. And they come to school, they're exhausted and they act out. So yeah, there's a lot of different places around that has help for people who are going through mental problems, but we don't know about them and we don't talk about it. So that is something I'd like to talk more about.
What are some of the resources that you would recommend if people listening to this, that message resonates with them and they'd like to engage some support? Do you have any places off the top of your head that you'd recommend?
Well, LaDonna Butler has a place. It's right across from Chief's Creole Cafe.
It's called The Well.
The Well. And I know that she's doing a lot of supportive services out of there. Interestingly enough, I am in conversation with a couple of mental health professionals as we begin to talk about this paper. And I have run up against a little bit of resistance in this conversation. So I'm hoping within a few months to have some people committed and on board. And I'm not really sure like what the resistance is. I don't know if it's that part of this is, you know, when you're getting mental health for children, you're dealing with their parents and what is that called? There's some sort of privacy act, but there's also, you know, you have kids. And if you're trying to get support for kids that are outside of school, they don't want to talk to their parents and they don't have counselors, then you're asking for support services that will be anonymous support services. So I think that's part of trying to figure out how to deal with this, how you can give kids support that they may, you know, they don't want to go to their family, they don't want to go to their parents, but then what are the legalities for these mental health professionals and, you know, how do they avoid getting sued, you know, because we live in this kind of litigious society now. So yeah, but I know LaDonna Butler does a lot of stuff out of The Well. So that's one place that comes off the top of my head. I know that Job Corps also is someplace that I've just sort of met some people who work at Job Corps. And I'm not sure like how much mental health they do. They have a lot of great resources for young people. I thought only the government or, you know, the state or the city referred kids to Job Corps. But I was told by one of the people that work there that, you know, parents who have kids who are out of high school or aren't going to college, don't seem to have any kind of direction, should really look into Job Corps because they offer a lot of services for youth there. And it's a lot about job prep. One of the things that I've heard from talking to different, you know, organizations or people who want to start nonprofit organizations is that there's support for younger kids, but there's not really support for teenagers. And that once they get out of high school, all kind of support drops off. So there's that also like what happens to kids who either drop out of school or get out of school and then don't have any place to go. And as one woman said, that's when the street catches kids. So I think we also need to kind of look at like job prep and what we're doing. Where are we sending our kids after they get out of school? So those are some other things that I'm really interested in, like the work development for young people.
And you can also read the paper. We have a mental health expert who writes a bi-monthly column. And her name is Kayla. And she basically talks about the trauma in the community and where to go. And, you know, you're not crazy. You're just having some issues.
Maybe suffering a little bit.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I appreciate your time. This was very illuminating, and we'll look forward to following the Challenger and exploring the online archives and supporting the extra paper effort with the schools. That's a fantastic idea. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Thank you.